Coming up on Encouragement Live, Israel has been the focus of a great deal of international news lately. Dr. Mark Yarbrough, president of Dallas Theological Seminary, offers a biblical perspective. And that's our focus tonight on Encouragement Live.
Welcome to Encouragement Live, providing biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of practical life issues. Now here's your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Thank you, Steve. And friend, thank you for joining us as live from studios located in First Christian Church of Wylie, Texas. Encouragement Communications presents Encouragement Live. Our mission is to provide biblically based encouragement on a wide range of practical life issues. Dr. Mark Yarbrough is back with us tonight. He is the president and professor of Bible Exposition at Dallas Theological Seminary. He's co-authored and recorded a number of songs and albums, spoken at conferences at places like Mount Hermon, the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove, and Word of Life. His books include How to Read the Bible Like a Seminary Professor and Jonah Beyond the Whale of a Tale. And Mark, it's great to have you back.
It is always a pleasure to be here with you, Don.
And Mark, you have a new book in the works, too.
Well, actually, I have several new books in the works.
Okay.
The one I was telling you about.
I'm not surprised, yeah.
I just turned in the manuscript, so yep. I'm super excited about it. So we're doing all the final edits. It is called Rekindled: Six Essentials for Reviving Your Faith.
Oh, I love that title, Rekindled. That is fantastic.
Yeah, we kind of used a metaphor of fires and things like that. So.
Yeah. Rekindled, restoration. In fact, the metaphor of fire is pretty common in Scripture.
Sure is, yeah. You have lots of references to the fire of faith. And so we're kind of playing with that a little bit, but we hit six essentials. It's not an exhaustive list, obviously, but how important it is for us as believers to have a bold trust in God's word as an example for the first
one. Look forward to talking with you about that book specifically, have you back on that. And tonight we're talking about Israel, and it's a delight to have you back. But before we get into Israel, this is the milestone year. Well, last year actually was. This is the 101st year.
It is, and so it's hard to believe that we have turned the clock and we're starting a new 100 years, and if the Lord tarries, and we pray and it does not, but if he does, we want to be faithful servants and equip another generation to be anchored in God's word.
Wonderful opportunity, and what's happening in your 101? Anything specific that you want us to be praying about for DTS?
Well, we are praying for wisdom in the shifting seas of graduate-level theological education, and we are having a privilege to engage in the equipping of pastors all over the world, not just here in the United States, but my goodness, where the gospel is growing and exploding in unprecedented ways in Latin America, sub-Sahara Africa, and parts of Asia.
And you're providing free courses to people who are lay people, Sunday school teachers, Bible teachers, at courses.dts.edu. Talk about some of the courses you have there.
Oh my goodness, it's courses on how to interpret, how to study the Bible. We have courses on theology. We have a couple of church history courses. We have courses on evangelism, how to share your faith in a practical way. And interestingly enough, in these free courses, we have, again, pastors that are all over the place that will maybe never have an opportunity to move to the United States, come to Dallas Seminary in Dallas, Texas. So this is our way of getting it to them.
And online education is huge these days, master's level, even doctoral level.
Oh, yeah, it really is. I mean, technology has opened up the door in all of the bad that can come with technology.
Yep.
There's some good things, and the Lord can certainly use that. So we have students that beam in from all over the planet to live courses, and then we also have various forms of distance education where we have professors. We are in the airplanes all of the time, going all across the country, all across the world to be able to meet with our students.
Good place to find out more about this is at dts.edu, the website, and you can visit the courses at courses.dts.edu and sign up. And if you have a question for us tonight on Israel, maybe a comment, the number is 855-586-5433.
We're over 100 years old.
Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarbrough on the seminary's motto, Teach Truth, Love Well.
That is what we do. That's our slogan that we use. Obviously, it's preach the word. For all of us, we are called to teach truth and live it out.
To learn more about how Dallas Theological Seminary can equip you for biblically based Christian service, visit dts.edu. That's dts.edu.
I was so high and I was so drunk that I couldn't walk. I couldn't even stand up. I collapsed in my garage and then I awoke 2 days later in the hospital. I heard about Teen Challenge. I came here and this place has shown me that it truly does care. That's when everything changed.
At Adult and Teen Challenge, we provide hope and healing for a new drug-free future. And you can find the center nearest you at 855-END-ADDICTION or teenchallengeusa.org. Freedom from addiction starts here.
Thank you for dialing in tonight, friend. This is Encouragement Live. I'm Don Hawkins, and good to have those of you listening on Lonesome Road Radio. This is an internet radio station, Dr. Mark Yarborough, that is dedicated to truckers, and I'm told they have over 8 million listeners who've listened to this radio station. They carry us twice a week, and what a great blessing to have truckers. And the first time I announced this, we had a couple of truckers call in on the live show.
Oh, you gotta love that. Well, welcome aboard.
Yes, absolutely. Good to have you along. Tuesdays, 8:30 a.m. and 8:30 p.m. And if you want to dial in at AFR.net on Saturday evening, 7:05 to 8 Central, or theworshipchannel.org. And the Worship Channel, we've had listeners in 192 countries, Mark. It's a pretty amazing opportunity for ministry.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Let's talk about Israel. Obviously, that's been hugely prominent in international news lately. Let's talk about the connection between Israel and Dallas Theological Seminary.
Yeah, you bet. Well, you know, our framework at the seminary, big fancy word that we sometimes use is hermeneutics. I always use that word, and it sounds like you need to go see your podiatrist about hermeneutics. But, you know, hermeneutics is really interpretation.
Yeah.
And it's how we approach our understanding of the Bible, how we walk through it. A lot of times we'll talk about history and grammar and real words and sentences. And when you start at the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis and work all the way through to Revelation, one of the things that you see is that God is a God who makes promises.
Mm.
And he makes promises to the nation of Israel. Now, in its inception, right, we start off in Genesis 12, and God makes a particular promise to a man by the name of Abram. We get to know him by Abraham. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, which is reiterated a little bit later in chapter 15, chapter 17, chapter 21, all the way through
the book, yeah.
That's right. Is that God makes a promise to this man who is the father of the Jewish people. And we find out that God makes a promise related to the fact that they are going to be a people that will reside in a particular land, and through this people in the land, he's going to bless the world.
And there's a lot of controversy about the people and the land these days, because there are people shouting from the river to the sea, which basically means Israel should no longer exist as a nation in that particular geographic place where God promised Abraham a land. And there are people saying that there ought to be two states in that area. Very controversial question these days. And our toll-free number, by the way, if you just dialed in, is 855-586-5433. Mark, I don't think we'll solve any of the geopolitical issues tonight, but I think we will shed some theological light, if I could use that fancy 25-cent word tonight. And I know as the president of Dallas Theological Seminary, you have no problem. That's your middle name.
Is it problem or theological?
Theological. No, not. No question about that. That toll-free number, by the way, friend, if you'd like to dial in, is 855-586-5433. We archive these programs at the website encouragementlive.org. And if you'd like to learn more about Dallas Theological Seminary, maybe God is calling you, as he did me many years ago, to train, to equip, to preach and teach God's word, check out the website. Site dts.edu. And we'll be right back with more Encouragement Live. CrossFlix, a complete multimedia platform at your fingertips, featuring faith-based shows for the entire family, plus an amazing library of interactive online Bible courses, such as Revealing the Secrets of the Hebrew Bible.
You'll have access to a community and join others on their spiritual journey.
CrossFlix partners with the SEAL Future Foundation and Bless IL to support American and Israeli veterans and families suffering from trauma.
CrossFlix, educate, entertain, and inspire.
60% of Christians will die with no will. Only 10% have up-to-date estate plans, virtually guaranteeing that probate courts will sort out their affairs. What does being a wise steward of God's resources mean? The Bible has a lot to say on the subject. Sat 7 offers a biblical estate planning seminar or webinar that takes the mystery out of wills, trusts, and estate planning. To learn more, visit sat7usa.org/plan.
The people of the Middle East and North Africa are familiar with hardship and struggle, but Sat 7 gives the hope of God's word to the hurting and broken.
Sat 7's new president, John Cernelia.
Our vision is to see a growing church in the Middle East and North Africa, confident in Christian faith and witness, serving the community, and contributing to the good of society and culture.
To learn more or support this ministry, visit sat7usa.org. Toni King on her book, The Maze of Medicare.
I looked up on the internet how many books have biblical in regards to Medicare, and there was zero. And then God brought you into my life, and you helped me write The Maze of Medicare because we took Medicare and put scripture with it. Because people are stressed. They don't know what to do, where to turn.
You can order The Maze of Medicare at TonySays.com. That's T-O-N-I, TonySays.com. We're back on Encouragement Live. Don Hawkins along with Dr. Mark Yarborough tonight. And we appreciate the team, Keith Mayo handling things at the Worship Channel. And here, Rodney Love and Danny Webster and Chris and Cora Varela and Roger Bishop all in the studio with us tonight. Brad Smithart produced this music you're hearing in the background. You can Google Brad Smithart and order any of his music. And Mark Yarborough, you have produced music as well. Talk about the music you've produced. We haven't talked about that on the air.
Well, back in the day, you know, how's that for a qualification?
Back in the day,
yeah, I was in a couple of Christian boy bands.
Yeah,
okay. I don't know if I'm proud to say that or not. But,
all right.
But yeah, we had a little bus and traveled around and sang at a bunch of youth events. We opened for Rich Mullins back in the day.
How about that?
Oh my goodness! Yeah, we got served. We made 4 or 5 albums. I did a bunch of jingles, things like that. So,
oh, excellent. Yeah, we'll let get you involved in doing some music for us for radio, and maybe even have you sing. I know that you have sung in the seminars you do the story of Scripture.
Right.
And you're still doing those, right?
Oh, we're doing those around the country and around the world. You bet.
And give us just a thumbnail sketch, you know, the story of Scripture.
Yeah, story of Scripture. It is focused on helping people understand the greatest story ever told, which is the story of Scripture.
Yeah.
It's
mm-hmm.
God's story that He has woven us into by grace. And so it is a 2-day experience where we try to help people start in Genesis and end in Revelation to see the great continuity of the story of the Bible. We forget that. Sometimes we think it's a bunch of random accounts. Mm. And we want to connect the dots. And what happens inevitably is that as people begin to understand that, their view of God goes higher. And whenever you can get someone's view of God to go higher, the response to that is, I can trust Him with him with my mess.
Yes.
Right?
Wonderful thought. And the story of Scripture, check out the website, dts.edu, and plug in the words, story of Scripture, and you'll be able to find out where they're taking place. And that fits beautifully with our topic, because Israel and the covenant with Abraham, as you mentioned, Abram and then Abraham, literally ties right into that story. And interesting, even in the New Testament, Paul in Romans 9 through 11 makes it clear that God still has a future for Israel, but there have been nations and movements down through the years, from Hamas to Hezbollah to Iran to even back to Nazi Germany. We saw this October 7th, 2023, that would like to wipe Israel out. Talk about that.
Well, I tell you what, it is the story of human civilization is that there is an evil one, and we all acknowledge that. But as it relates to these promises of God that he has made to the Jewish people, and in particular, when I talk about the covenant promises of God, I generally reference that there are four main covenants that we see in the Old Testament, right? The Abrahamic covenant, right? The Mosaic covenant, that's the law.
That's the law.
Right? The promises to David, and then what is referenced as the new covenant. And every one of those are focused on the nation of Israel and their responsibility as the recipients of these promises of God. And it seems that as history unfolds, that this evil one, Satan, is always attempting to thwart the promises of God and to persecute or derail the nation of Israel.
Now, talk about your experience shortly after October 7th, 2023.
Well, I've had so many fascinating experiences. A dear friend of mine that is in and out of Dallas Seminary a lot, his name is Joel Rosenberg. Some people know Joel as
writes a lot of books.
Yeah, as an incredible author, but he is also very passionate about, he lives in Jerusalem.
Right.
He gives a news network that is for all Jewish news and as well as all Arab news, and he plays a very interesting role. I got an invitation from Joel about a month after the horrific moment on October 7th, and was privileged to be a small group of about 30 people that was invited to go to see a behind-the-scenes presentation at the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. And as you can imagine, it was signing all sorts of documents and private rights and things like that. But it was the most horrific presentation of what really happened behind the scenes. I think in terms of the public dynamic that we've seen of the documents that have circulated, the video clips that were on the web, but the aftermath, the cleanup of the massacre was simply horrific of what was done at that time. And it was a symbol in many ways of a great evil. You know, we talk about anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
And but that is led by the evil one. I do think there is a large-scale theology here, is that the evil one wants to eradicate the people of promise.
Yeah. And in the process, I would say, to eradicate the promise itself, to basically undermine God's credibility.
That's exactly what it is. And that has happened from the beginning.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was in an airplane not long ago, and I got paired up with, as that happens in an airplane, with a wonderful Jewish man who was nominal Jewish, if I can phrase it that way.
Sure.
He was certainly not a believer. And we had the most beautiful theological discussion. And it was fascinating when he began to ask all sorts of questions about his faith, if I can phrase it that way,
sure.
And how he grew up. And the thing that stumped him is I asked him, you know, I said, why has there been such great persecution against the Jewish people? Now, that was one that made him pause, because I don't think he'd ever stopped, even in his own life, to think about, why has there been such a rise of anti-Semitism? What is the origin of that? And that's what really made him pause and say, maybe there is this evil one that is attempting to thwart the plans of God.
It did not originate with Hitler. It did not originate with Iran or Hamas or Hezbollah or the Houthis or any of those parties.
That is right.
It all comes back. Talk about Satan and who he is, where he started from, and where he fell.
Well, you know, when we think about that and understand it from scriptural revelation, we have two passages that we historically go to in terms of Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28.
Right.
And those two passages give us a picture of who Satan was and is. He was a beautifully created cherub. He was an angelic creation.
Like Michael and Gabriel.
Right. Michael and Gabriel are the other ones that are mentioned certainly by name in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And those two passages give us insight into his, what is sometimes referenced as his fall, right?
Right.
In other words, it was sin that came upon him as a free created being, I think it was probably even before Genesis 1. That is up for debate. Scripture doesn't really give us all of the details of that. But certainly by the time we get to Genesis chapter 3, he is there as the deceiver.
The serpent, yes.
That is right. He is the talking serpent that is wanting to deceive the image bearers, Adam and Eve being created in the very image of God.
Sadly, he was successful.
That is exactly right. And that's why we are in this mess today.
Yeah, by one man, sin entered into the world, Paul wrote in Romans 5:12, and as a result, we've all sinned, which brings us to the good news of the gospel, and we would be remiss, Mark, if we didn't take a moment to let people know that you individually, whether Jewish or Gentile, whether from an Arabic background or an Israeli background, Gentile background, there's only one Savior this world has, and Paul said, by no other name under heaven by men can men be saved.
Yes, indeed, his name is Jesus. And for our Jewish friends that may be listening, his name is Yeshua.
We had a caller the other night that literally said, why do you people not use Yeshua, his name? We're using it tonight. And friend, we want to give you four words to put into your thinking cap right now, four very critical words. The first one is sin. We've already mentioned that we've all sinned. Romans 3:23 makes that clear. Second word is penalty. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. The third word, though, is paid. Sin's penalty, paid. Romans 5:8, God proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the final word, as you would know, Mark, is trust. And I like to use John 3:16 there. Whoever believes or trusts in him has everlasting life.
Amen. And that is a beautiful promise because whether male, female, slave, free, Jew, or Gentile, that gospel opportunity is available for all.
And anybody from Iran, anybody in Hamas, anybody in Hezbollah can turn to Jesus Christ by faith and repent of their sins and place their trust in him. And friend, tonight you can as well. And we'd love for you to call us. Mark and I would love to share with you how you can absolutely be sure that if your number came up tonight, if you died tonight, you would be taken to heaven, not by good works, but by the grace of God. Our toll-free number is 855-586-5433, 855-586-LIFE. Now, Mark, a little controversy here. There's been a lot of criticism, even in light of those horrible atrocities committed on October 7th, 2023, about Israel's ongoing efforts to wipe out Hamas and the living conditions in Gaza.
Well, I tell you what, war is always horrific, isn't it? And
oh,
I think
it
it's important for us to start that there are no winners in war, that life is precious to God. And here we have a no-win situation, or so it seems. I mean, when you look at it from a political standpoint in regard to the hatred that is there from one nation to another, you know, it begs for Yeshua to arrive to solve this battle and to be able to understand that it goes back to opposing views of land and land rights. I mean, every bit of this goes back to scriptural teaching.
Yeah, and the covenant, again, as you pointed out earlier, so important. God made, or as the Hebrew put it, God cut that covenant with Abraham in Genesis 12 and again in Genesis 15, ratifying it. And again, as you mentioned, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, the new covenant of Jeremiah 31, all of those reinforcing Israel's rights to the land. And you know one interesting thing, Mark? If you take the word Palestinian and look back in the Old Testament, you see a similarity to the Philistine people.
That is exactly right. And so it goes all the way back into biblical roots.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times when I'm in a discussion about this, I tell people, I said, hey, guess what, friends? This goes all the way back to Genesis 12 and Genesis 16. That's exactly
right. Yeah, Genesis 16 is a fascinating passage, and we might get into that. Our toll-free number, 855-586-5433. Maybe you have a question, a comment about the issues that we're talking about with Israel tonight. Mark Yarbrough is the president of Dallas Theological Seminary. Dr. Yarbrough has written a number of books, and I would encourage you, Look online for how to read the Bible like a seminary professor. It will give you a lot of those basics on words, grammar, context, and how to interpret God's word in an accurate way. And again, our toll-free number, 855-586-5433. We will continue our discussion about Israel right after this time out.
There are only two ways that your affairs will be settled after you pass away. Your way or the government's way. For anyone without a will or trust in place, the government will settle it through probate. So we must all ask ourselves, do I want the government to decide how my minor children's inheritance and where my assets go, and then charge my heirs probate and court fees to make that happen? Or do I want to protect my family from probate and steward the resources that God has entrusted to me by determining how the assets that I leave behind will be used? Find out what you need to know and do to protect your heirs at a free webinar with His Faithful Stewards. This free webinar will discuss wills and trusts and help you understand it all. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and find the link for webinars. There's a place there under webinars where you can sign up. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com and the link to webinars. HisFaithfulStewards.com.
When you need to consider independent or assisted living or memory care for a parent or spouse, Restoration Senior Living provides a distinctly Christian setting with the most stringent quality care. Restoration's innovative program addresses the medical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions, leading to an enhanced quality of life. You can learn more at restorationsl.com. That's restorationsl.com.
Saji Lucas grew up in South India without Christ, but when he trusted the Savior, his Hindu family disowned him. His witness brought his entire family to Christ and led to the founding of Mission India, which trains hundreds of village missionaries each year. For a free copy of Saji's biography, Transformed for a Purpose, and to learn more about Reaching Indians Ministries International, visit remi.org. That's remi.org.
I was so high and I was so drunk that I couldn't walk. I couldn't even stand up. I collapsed in my garage and then I awoke 2 days later in the hospital. I heard about Teen Challenge. I came here and this place has shown me that it truly does care. That's when everything changed.
At Adult and Teen Challenge, we provide hope and healing for a new drug-free future. And you can find the center nearest you at 855-AND-ADDICTION or teenchallengeusa.org. Freedom from addiction starts here.
Welcome back to Encouragement Live. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. Here again is your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
And by the way, are any of you listening to Encouragement Live into podcasts? I have a podcast called Encouragement for You, and one of Dr. Mark Yarbrough's colleagues, Dr. Paul Pettit, we'll be talking about where was God when the disaster occurred in Kerr County, Texas, back on the 4th of July. Mark, you've been on some podcasts before. I think Dallas Seminary has a podcast or two. And, of course, Dr. Paul Pettit has been on this program before and talked about that issue. And that is a question for a lot of people. Where was God when that disaster happened on July 4th? Where was God when October 7th, 2023 happened? If God is sovereign, why would he allow these things to happen?
That is right. And it is one of the hardest things for a believer and anybody, I would argue, to wrestle with. You know, coming to grips with the sovereignty of God means that he is God that we are not, that he sees things that we do not. And it also acknowledges that we live in a world of evil. It is a world that is in a disastrous state because of sin. And that makes the gospel shine all the more.
Yeah.
You know, the testimonies of faith, as an example, in the recent tragedy in the state of Texas, of individuals that have hope, even in the midst of this just devastating picture that is in front of us, is actually a testimony to the grace of God in the midst of just horrible things.
Yeah, I think about that camp director who saved so many lives, and then he was swept away. Just an amazing, amazing account. The man who came in who rescued probably 150 people.
Yes.
And then indelibly impressed in my brain is the picture of those girls riding in the bus singing Christian choruses, knowing that very possibly some of their close friends had been swept away.
That is exactly right. It gives us a picture of the hope of the gospel. And the reason I say it that way is because what we know is that every one of us on this planet, we're all dying.
Yeah.
You know, there's bad news that is coming towards all of us, but there's great news for those that are in Christ Jesus, even in the midst of tragedy.
My friend Larry Moyer, also a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary, likes to say, you can't tell people the good news before you tell them the bad news.
That's exactly
right. And that's exactly right. If you have a question about that tonight, 855-586-5433. Cornelius is listening in Louisiana, has a question about Bible prophecy. Welcome to the program, Cornelius.
Hey there, Don and Doc. Well, Mark, we share a biblical name, and you know he was a Roman centurion, Cornelius. So we do share a biblical name.
There you
and
go.
And I just wanted to make one comment. There was a young lady here from Alexandria, Louisiana. I listen to y'all on AFR, American Family Radio.
Right.
And she saved 12 of those kids. She was a counselor over there. And she goes to Louisiana Tech University in Ruston. So I don't know her name, but, they publicized all of that. And the governor gave her an award for saving. She saved 12 of them over there during that flood and everything. We're praying for y'all. And I told your call screener, I got my answered prayer. So come Monday at 10 o'clock, I'll be getting some home health care. So thank y'all for praying for me.
Thank the Lord. We did pray for you. And in fact, it may have been the evening that Paul Pettit was on the show with me that we prayed for you about getting home health care. Yes. And we are always thankful, Cornelius, when God gives specific answers to prayer. We also had prayer last week for my friend Yenu Samuel in India. He had successful surgery on his urinary tract yesterday. Would have been today his time. But very thankful for his recovery, and he is back home. And I want to ask for prayer for one of my elders, Jim Castile, from our church here, First Christian Church, facing yet another cancer surgery coming up next week. But Mark, our God specifically answers prayers. Talk about that.
Yes, he does. And praise the Lord for that, that he hears everything. You know, I learned a long time ago that sometimes, you know, God will always answer us, right? It's either yes, no, or wait. That's right. And there's truth to that, right? But aren't we called to rejoice when the Lord answers our prayers? And so maybe that gives us a good opportunity to pray right now and to thank the Lord for these answered prayers and for one that is in front of us. Let me do that.
Please do.
You bet. Lord, thanks for our brother and his good news of home health care that is on the way. We rejoice with him. Lord, thank you for working in his behalf. Lord, we thank you for good news of successful surgeries, as Don has prayed for a brother in India. And so we thank you for that. Lord, we pray for his brother, fellow elder here at the church that will have upcoming surgery. And so we lift him before you. Father, it is a privilege for us as your children to be able to come to you by faith, knowing and trusting that you know what is right and that you will always act in our behalf. Lord, help us to trust you even when we do not fully understand how you have acted, what you have allowed in our lives, but we certainly rejoice in these moments where we see good things that you have done. And so we rejoice in these situations even right now. In Jesus' name we say thanks. Amen.
Amen. Always.
Now my question on Bible prophecy, and I believe we're in the end time, and I've been looking at this AI because they're building these big AI farms here in Louisiana trying to say that it's going to be economic development. So have y'all looked at AI as being, I call it the Antichrist intelligence, and that's the question about Bible prophecy and Israel and the end time?
All right, that's a great question, Cornelius. Let's let Mark speak to that issue.
Well, as you know, Cornelius, obviously the Bible does not talk about AI specifically, but generically, there are things that Scripture seems to speak of. I just had a most fascinating discussion with the name of an individual that I'm not going to mention, but he would be considered a world economist.
Yeah.
If I mentioned him, everybody would know who he is and what he does. And we were having a large theological discussion, and it has bearing upon your statement, Cornelius. He said, for the first time in human history, because of what is happening with global economics, in nuclear advancements, because of mass communication, that the things that Scripture speak of for the first time in human history can be fleshed out according to what God's Word says in the end.
And I can't help thinking about Revelation, and particularly the image of the beast who was able to speak and to put believers to death during the tribulation period, and the fact that the two witnesses who were killed by the beast, people could see them. You know, we used to say, well, that's impossible.
Right.
That would never happen. But with cable television and internet and all of that, people can see what's happening all over the world. Our friend who is in the studio with us, Roger, was in Lower Manhattan last weekend when that terrible shooting took place. And many of us were able to see that event that took place, or at least the gunman walking across the plaza with an assault rifle, and then to hear some of the shots that Roger heard in person. But again, that technology is there, and it's being morphed even more.
Yeah, it is. I mean, just think of it was just a few years ago, even in terms of delays of communication, but now it is streamed live. I mean, we're streaming our particular episode here live.
We are.
And it is instantaneously available. Information is almost real time as it is occurring, as a tragedy unfolds. So what we see in the book of Revelation, in particular, in that great tribulation period of mass communication that is going to have to be at play in all of this, to be able to say where the whole world is seeing and observing and watching at one time.
No question about it. By the way, we are live streaming on Facebook tonight, and if you are watching us there or listening to us there, the toll-free number is the same. It's 855-586-5433. We appreciate Cora and Chris going to the trouble to get things set up so that we could live stream. And Cornelius, thank you for your call tonight. Great to hear from you, my brother.
God bless America, gentlemen, and God bless y'all.
Bless you as well. And Mark, one of the things that probably, coming back to our topic of Israel, Romans 9:6 made a statement that not everyone who is Israel, or not all Israel who are of Israel, I think is the way the New King James puts it. There are a couple of different translations. Help us unpack what that verse is telling us today.
Yeah, I'll read the translation of the NIV.
Yeah.
It says, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Yeah, that passage, and if we had time to go back and really unpack, same thing in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 2, verses 28 through 29, very important passages. A lot of times individuals that are what are called as replacement theologians or individuals that believe that Israel has been replaced by the church. Right, which obviously we do not believe that. We think that the promises of God that have been given to the nation of Israel and text.
Yeah.
If you really unpack what Paul is walking through here, he's already dealt with the fact that there are Israelis, there are Jewish individuals, that they are Jews externally, but they're not Jews internally. And that's actually what Paul is talking about here. He is saying that the Jews that are believing Jews, like himself, like the Apostle Paul, who is a messianic Jew, an individual that has trusted in Yeshua, he's saying those are really the Jews. Yeah, and that's right. What he's talking about there.
Yeah, very important to make that distinction to understand. And I think when we get to the millennium, for example, and the eternal state, there will be people who have been Old Testament saints. There will be tribulation saints. And there will be people from what we call, and at Dallas Seminary, this is made very clear, the church, which is neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female, because we're all one in Christ. Paul wrote, I believe, to the Ephesians. And so the bottom line is there will be a number of different groups who will spend eternity with
yes,
the Lord.
Yes, without a shadow of a doubt. And so it's always important. Context is critical, right? We've got to unpack to say, what words is this individual using, and it's going to help us understand it.
Dr. Hendricks used to say, words, grammar, context. We'll come back with more with Dr. Mark Yarborough on Encouragement Live.
Do you have an extra car taking up valuable space in your driveway? Let Encouragement Live take it off your hands. It's easy, free, and best of all, tax deductible. Get your driveway back and keep Encouragement Live rolling so more people can bridge the gap between their faith and everyday life. Mention Encouragement Live when you call 855-500-RIDE. That's 855-500-RIDE or encouragementlive.org.
What do Chuck Swindoll, David Jeremiah, and Erwin Lutzer have in common? They all trained to preach God's Word at Dallas Theological Seminary. And you can train at DTS, too. If you've been called to preach or teach God's Word, find a degree or course that's right for you on one of our campuses or online at dts.edu. Dallas Theological Seminary, where they teach truth and love well. Visit dts.edu.
The older people grow, the more important it is that they have savings that are not at risk in the stock market.
Here's an important warning from Roxanne Endermule of HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I've seen many people in their 50s that have all their savings still in a 401k or some other market-based account that is fully at risk of loss.
Roxanne and her team offer practical financial counsel to people from all age groups.
It could be that they need to start saving for the future in retirement, or maybe they've already done those things and they just need to be good managers of what God's given them and get their money to where it can grow well but won't be at risk of loss in the stock market. Or maybe they need to get a will or a trust in place to protect their family from the cost and stresses of probate.
You can schedule a free and confidential time to talk with Roxanne at her website, HisFaithfulStewards.com. Just follow the links on the website to set a good time to talk, or you may call the office to set a time. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com. Well, the story is not over when it comes to Israel, and we're learning that from Dr. Mark Yarborough tonight. Mark is the president of Dallas Theological Seminary. One of his books is titled How to Read the Bible Like a Seminary Professor. He's got another great book out that I love, Jonah, the Whale of a Tale, and you and I will have to talk about Jonah again on this broadcast sometime, Mark. And we've also talked about Ruth and Esther before on this program, so a lot of good biblical content. Take us to the last part of that section of Romans I mentioned earlier, Romans 9, 10, and 11. We get to the last part of chapter 11. There's some pretty amazing things in there. What does God say there?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's just killing me not to be able to walk through the details of all these powerful chapters. But I always think it's important, and I always challenge people to, when they're thinking about the role of Israel, the promises of God, the sovereignty of God, which is a huge topic in chapter 9. Chapter 10 is full of illustrations about Israel's unbelief and how God is still at work. Well, he begins to drill down in chapter 11 to this remnant, and he asks the question. Paul likes asking questions and then answering it.
Yes.
And I love it. And that's always helpful, right? So just as a reminder, at the very beginning, I ask then, did God reject his people Well, by no means, Paul says. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. Now, that is his entry into one of the most critical chapters in the book of Romans in chapter 11.
Yeah.
Because he walks through the fact that there are branches that have been grafted in, and he gives all these beautiful pictures. But ultimately, when he begins to land this plane, he begins to say some very important words. And in chapter 11, verse 28, I think this is where it really begins to just fall. And you go, okay, he has landed it. And you understand what he's saying. He says, as far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies for your sake. Now, he's talking about who? He's talking about the Jews that have rejected Jesus.
And they were persecuting people. Yes. They tried to kill Paul.
That was, and Paul was formerly one of them, right?
He was arresting people, went to Damascus, and had a close encounter of the best kind on the road to Damascus.
That is exactly right. So he says, as far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies for your sake. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on the account of the patriarchs. Now, just pause there. In other words, what he's bringing into this are these incredible promises. That's how we started our show together.
Right.
Where we started talking. We were back there at Genesis 12.
Way back in the Old Testament.
That is right. Yes. All of these promises. And then he uses highly aggressive language. Here's what he says. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable.
Ooh, I love that word.
Yep.
The old King James put it, without repentance.
That's exactly right. And what a great picture it is. Yeah. It's saying, hey, God can't move this because he's God. He has he has made his own proclamation, and his promises will come to fruition.
And God will never change his mind. I think about Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord, I change not.
That is exactly right. And I am so thankful that God doesn't change his mind. I always say it this when I'm talking. I said, you know, it just so happens that every one of us that have put our trust in Jesus, we're swinging out into eternity based on the promises of God.
We are.
And I am so thankful that he's not going to say, well, I got to thinking about Mark Yarbrough and I changed my mind. You know, because it's not on it's not on my merit.
Yes.
It is based upon the work of Christ that was done on the cross.
Totally by grace through faith, not of ourselves. We are his poema, his workmanship. And what a beautiful picture that is, how he brought us to salvation. That happened to me when I was 7 years of age. I'm so thankful I trusted Christ as my Savior.
Amen. I did the same thing. I grew up in a wonderful home, and I can remember to this day getting on my knees with my dad and right there in my room and inviting the Lord to do what only the Lord could do in my life.
And my dad had trusted Christ just a week before me. We were baptized the same night, which was wonderful, and just so thankful for a Christian family, Christian home, and as you had as well. Not everybody has a Christian home. And the other thing we probably ought to say, Mark, is that God doesn't have any grandchildren.
That's exactly right.
You have to become God's child by faith. Maybe you grew up in a Christian home and you're thinking somehow mom and dad's faith is going to slip you through the door. Doesn't work that way, does it?
No, it does not. And I tell you what, we are all given the individual opportunity to be able to meet the Lord. Yeah. You know, and speaking of that, here we are in Romans chapter 10.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been dealing with 9, 10, and 11. I love what the Apostle Paul says here in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. You know, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess by faith that you are saved.
That's powerful. That is so strong. And again, friend, if you tonight, maybe driving around in your car, maybe sitting at home, maybe sitting in a coffee shop somewhere, maybe you're online on Facebook watching us, and you recognize that you have not yet made that personal decision to commit your life in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting him as your personal Savior, we want to invite you to do that tonight. You can do that right now by praying a prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner and I cannot save save myself. But I believe that you died for me on the cross, and just as Mark just read, I believe you rose again from the dead the third day. And right this moment, Lord, I am putting my trust in you. And friend, if you will express that, not necessarily in those exact words, but you will express that prayer to the Lord, we believe that your home in heaven for all eternity is secured. And that's based not on my opinion, not on Dr. Mark Yarborough's opinion, but on the authority of God's word. Mark, talk about how we can trust that our faith really works because of God's word.
Well, I tell you what, it is the simple fact that it's not about us. Yeah. In other words, it is predicated on who God is.
Yeah.
Friends, we have said that over and over again, that God is true to who he is and what he has said. And so his claims are what we are attached to.
Hmm.
And so the benefits that God extends to Jesus, I love that issue of saying that we are co-heirs with Christ. That the benefits that he has secured in his own resurrection, the first fruits, guaranteeing what is to come. I love that language that Paul says, guaranteeing what is to come, which means that we are guaranteed that to come as well. And that ties back to what we've already said of John 3:16, that it is a promise of eternal life for those that are in Christ.
You know, it's interesting. We hear a lot about warranties these days. We buy a vehicle, we want to get a good warranty. We buy an appliance. We just bought a dryer last week, and it's got a one-year warranty on it, which I'm very thankful for. Those warranties are probably only as good as the company behind them. God's warranty is as good as the Creator, the Redeemer.
Isn't that the truth? You know, I love Paul's language, since we're thinking of the Apostle Paul and some of his words.
Yes.
You know, he talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 of when you open up your life to the Lord Jesus, that something happens. And all of those things that we could speak of, but one of those is that it is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And Paul uses some very specific word. He said it is a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. He loves using those phrases. My grandfather used to use a phrase that I'd never heard before. I can remember as a little kid going into the hardware store, and he would make a deal, and he'd lay down some money and say, "That's my earnest money." And I was like, "Earnest money?
Yeah.
What does that mean?"
Yeah.
And then he would tell me, he'd say, "That was my deposit."
Yeah.
Of a guaranteed word. Well, think of what happens when God lays down his money and says, guaranteed, friend, this is what is yours.
You can count on it. Absolutely. No question about it. Friend, my prayer tonight is that you have that assurance of your salvation. I want to bring this plane back, Mark, before we land it, to the subject of ministry, of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, of fulfilling the Great Commission, and how Dallas Theological Seminary is equipping men and women to do just that.
Well, I tell you what, we are on a quest to glorify God by equipping godly servant leaders for the proclamation of his word and the building up of the body of Christ worldwide. That is what our mission is. We are firmly committed to being anchored in the inspired, inerrant, authoritative word of God. And we have another generation of students, men and women, individuals that are fresh out of college all the way up to folks that are in their 80s that are saying, "Hey, I am still here, I'm still breathing, and God wants me to know his word better, to take the living, active word of God into a world that desperately needs it."
Amen. And nothing wrong with people at 80. As I recall, there was a fellow in the Old Testament who started his greatest third career at the age of 80.
And
I believe his name was Moses.
And so if you're 80 and you're listening to us today, just remember, God may just be getting you warmed up.
Absolutely. DTS.edu is the place to go to find out more about that. And maybe you're not prepared to say, "I'm ready to go into vocational ministry, but I'm teaching Sunday school, I'm teaching vacation Bible school. I could use one of those free Bible study courses." And by the way, the Price is Right on those free Bible study courses.
Free. That's a good charge.
That
right
is
there.
A great charge. And just like the gospel, they're free. Go to courses.dts.edu. Dr. Mark Yarbrough, always a joy to have you on. How can we be praying for you and for Dallas Theological Seminary?
Just pray for our students. Pray for provisions for our students. Pray for wisdom in these messy, ugly days. And on a personal note, I would say I would appreciate prayers for energy. Feeling good, but running a heavy, heavy schedule.
Yes.
I don't want to sit around. I don't want to rust out. I want to wear out. You know?
Don't burn out. Don't rust out, but wear out.
And
those are the two extremes. And we do want to pray for you, Lord. I pray for Dr. Mark Yarbrough and for Dallas Theological Seminary. Thank you for their commitment to the fidelity of the faith. Lord, provide for their every need and use this ministry, we pray, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark, thank you for sharing these perspectives on Israel and for being a part of our ministry.
Always a privilege and an honor.
And thank you, friend, for joining us tonight. Remember, we do archive these programs at the website encouragementlive.org. For our entire ministry team, I'm Don Hawkins. Thank you for joining us. Be in church tomorrow from Encouragement Live.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio.
As a federal or state employee, you have the opportunity to support the American Family Association through the combined federal campaign by designating a monthly payroll deduction using 12037. You help AFA continue to fight for your family. So when you complete your CFC form, remember, AFA's number is 12037. And thank you for your help.
Welcome to the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. I'm John Riley. A visit to the land of Israel will transform the way that you read and study God's Word. I want to encourage you, consider a trip to Israel. It's not as difficult as you think.